Horsham Rural City Council acknowledges the five traditional owner groups of this land, the Wachabolic, Wagaya, Jabbagong, Jagwa, and Jabbajali people. We recognise the important and ongoing place that all Indigenous people hold in our community. We pay our respects to their elders, both past and present, and commit to working together in the spirit of mutual understanding and benefit and respect for the benefit of the broader community and future generations. Thank you. Please be seated. Welcome, councillors and staff and members of the gallery and also members of the media here this evening to our ordinary council meeting. My name is Councillor Mark Radford, the Mayor of Horsham Rural City. I advise the public that tonight's council meeting will be recorded to maintain an audio archive. Item 4, are there any apologies for this meeting? Nothing, thank you. Number 5, leave of absence requests. Are there any requests for leave of absence? Councillor Clark.
I request a leave of absence from the 23rd of the 7th to the 14th of the 9th.
Okay, thank you. For that motion, would that be granted? All those in favour? Against? That's okay, thank you. Are there any further requests for leave of absence? Okay, item 6 is the confirmation of minutes of our previous meeting. The meeting was held on the 24th of June 2019. And also the special meeting of council held on the 3rd of July 2019.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Robinson.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, the special meeting minutes indicate that I was absent. Mr. Barlow would know that at the time I attended the rescission documentation in relation to the relevant motion, which was the Wednesday after the last meeting, I did indicate to him that I was unable to. He told me the date you'd set, and I made it clear to him that I had an appointment that I couldn't break away from Horsham, and Mr. Barlow's comment was that if I couldn't be there, the motion would lapse. A disappointing comment, but an indication that he understood that I would not be at that meeting. I have another point of order in relation to the special meeting.
So, Councillor Robinson, first of all, so we need to alter the minutes to record you as an apology, is that what you're saying?
If the minutes stand, yes. But I have another point of order.
All right, and what's the second one, Councillor Robinson? Yeah.
The second point of order, Mr. Mayor, is that the special meeting was called under Section 84 of the Local Government Act, as has been explained, and a legal opinion supporting that. But the legal opinion, Mr. Mayor, indicates that the local laws, our local laws that govern our meeting procedure, are actually only impacted and trumped, if you like, by the Local Government Act where there's a conflict. And, Mr. Mayor, there is no conflict in relation to the requirements of our local law, Part A, Section 5, Part A, which makes the point that the purpose of this section is to ensure that there are clear guidelines around the setting of meeting dates and the distribution of council agenda. This is to ensure that councillors have adequate time to familiarise themselves with the matters to be considered, for interested parties, media and the community to be informed and to be able to follow proceedings, to minimise the financial and environmental impact of conducting council business, and to remain open and transparent. And Section A2 takes that, touches on that as well in our local law, which essentially says the in giving such notice, councillors should have regard to any need for preparatory investigations to enable the business to be undertaken. Mr. Mayor, it would be fairly obvious that a lot of work has gone in by myself and at least one other councillor trying to determine the impact on this community of putting the documentation out, the Wimmera River.
So, Councillor Robinson, are you suggesting the minutes need to be altered in some way?
I'm suggesting the meeting was held unlawfully and is invalid.
Okay, well, we just need to clarify what the point of your point of order is.
Yeah, it's a process issue, and the process of the issue is the meeting was not lawfully held.
Okay, well, so I'm happy to. We just want to be clear what your point of order is. So, Mr. Barlow, would you like to comment on that, please?
Well, hang on, I haven't finished, Mr. Mayor.
Well, I've asked you the question about what your point of order is. You're suggesting that the meeting could be invalid or should be invalid.
Well, I haven't finished explaining. Do you want me to explain, or do you want Mr. Barlow to have a say and then you've
quoted from the Act, and that's fine. Are you giving us now opinion, or is this more fact?
No, if I just go back to what this said, Mr. Mayor, and I'll have you to refresh your memory.
Yep.
This is to ensure that councillors have adequate time to familiarise themselves with matters to be considered. For interested parties, media and the community to be informed and to be able to follow proceedings to minimise the financial and environmental impact of conducting council business and to remain open and transparent.
Yes.
And then subsection A2.2, councillors should have regard to any need for preparatory investigations to enable the business to be undertaken. Mr. Mayor, I've spent a good deal of time between when I lodged that rescission motion and now doing exactly that, researching, talking to people, looking at the impact that we should have looked at before we released this documentation, Mr. Mayor. From when on the meeting on the 24th of June, I advised I was going to lodge the rescission motion. I understand you made the decision to hold the special meeting that day or that night after the meeting, potentially the next morning. But in any event, by the Wednesday after the Monday, the 26th, when I took my rescission motion documentation in and handed it to Mr. Barlow, the decision had already been made, the special meeting would go ahead with no discussion whatsoever with me. So, Mr. Mayor, you had no capacity to know what I needed to do by way of research to prepare for the rescission motion. And the point, Mr. Mayor, is... Sorry, you're drawing, Mr. Mayor. Are you listening to me? Or
again, taking notes on what you're saying.
You're not taking notes, Mr. Mayor. I can see you doodling.
I've written the word apology, okay?
Yeah, okay. All right. Mr. Mayor, the issue is that there is no time whatsoever for me to do any research before you'd made your decision and you didn't bother contacting me. So how would you know, in compliance with the local laws, what time I needed to actually conduct the research? And Mr. Mayor, I make the point that at that meeting on the 24th, this council decided it wanted to meet monthly. So I set the date as being the next monthly meeting. So it's not to inconvenience anyone. It could have gone longer. I was happy enough with that. So, Mr. Mayor, by your actions, you've denied me the opportunity of using a process.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, I'm talking.
Councillor Robinson, you sit down.
You've denied me a process that you yourself used 2 years ago.
Councillor Robinson, can you sit down, please? Can you sit down and let me speak, please?
Well, I haven't finished, Mr. Mayor.
Could you sit down and let me speak, please? I have a question for you. Do you have a motion?
Mr. Mayor, I'm saying that the
special meeting... Do you have a motion, Councillor Robinson?
Mr. Mayor, I'm saying that the meeting was not lawfully held. You're the one that called it, and you're the one that called it that wasn't lawfully held. It's your issue to repair.
Okay, sit down, please. I'll get Mr. Barlow to comment on the legalities of having the meeting, please.
Well, before you do that, Mr. Mayor, you have a legal opinion, and it's very clear. You could call the meeting.
Could you please sit down? You've suggested the meeting was illegal, so
yes.
I'm now going to convert. I'm going to revert to Mr. Buller, who called the meeting, right, to comment on it. Okay.
Well, with respect, Mr. Mayor, he didn't call the meeting. You called the meeting, and you called the meeting before you discussed anything with me, not in compliance with our local law. It's very clear, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Buller.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, I can confirm that the meeting is legal or was legal. I have obtained legal advice on that matter, and for any practical purposes, the Local Government Act overrules our meeting procedure, so that's been clarified. In relation to the first comment from Councillor Robinson about whether I was aware about his availability on the day, all I can say, Mr. Mayor, and I'm actually sad to say this, Councillor Robinson actually walked out on me from my office. He handed me the notice of motion, and he walked out on me because we didn't actually even finish the conversation. But I'll actually take him on in his face value. If he's saying that he was meant to be an apology, I'll accept that. The reason being that I actually rang Councillor Robinson twice. I left messages on his phone the following day to check whether he could attend or he couldn't attend. He didn't respond to my messages. And that's why I actually then afterwards I rang Councillor Brimble and see if I could actually, if he had any contact with them. And Councillor Brimble would probably, confirm that. So all I'm saying, Mr. Mayor, is that I've tried what I could do to contact Councillor Robinson. I acted as per your request to convene the special meeting, and again, it was done as per the law.
Further point of order, Mr. Mayor. Just clarifying what Mr. Barlow has said, he's actually misled this chamber. The advice, and I've got a copy of the advice provided to this council, is that from the council's lawyer, is that a local law is inoperative to the extent that it is inconsistent with any act or regulation. The issue that's covered by that is the actual calling of the meeting. What's not covered, Mr. Mayor, is there was a requirement for you or someone to contact me and any other councillors for that matter to make sure there was sufficient time provided for the special meeting. And just to quote from Mr. Terry Brannan, the lawyer, to the extent of any inconsistency between section 84.2 of the Act, the Local Government Act, and clause E11.4 of the meeting procedures, our meeting procedures, section 111.3 of the Act provides that the inconsistent clause within the meeting procedures will be inoperative insofar as it is inconsistent with the Act. And Mr. Mayor, our timeline is not inconsistent with the Act, so the Act doesn't overcome.
I'm going to stop you there, Councillor Robinson. Could someone like to move that we suspend standing orders, please? Move by Councillor Goulden, check by Councillor Clark. All those in favour? Against, that's carried. We'll suspend standing orders while we sort this out. Thank you.
We should go in the back room. I think we'll have a chat. Okay.
Councillor Robertson, I requested the CEO call a meeting and to confirm that it was a legal thing to do, and that's been confirmed that it was, and so we're going to move on. Where we are right this minute is confirming the minutes of the two meetings. Happy to record you as an apology for the one on the 3rd of July. We've done that.
Sorry, Mr. Just to clarify, Mr. Mayor, yeah? How are you saying that the situation is that you've overcome an obvious deficiency in the rules? Because the big picture here, Mr. Mayor, is we're talking about a 20-year plan. We're talking about building blocks, and if the very bottom building block, the motion right at the start, is flawed,
and
a whole heap of people not happy about what we're doing, it's going to dog us all the way through, Mr. Mayor.
This discussion is about the logic, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Robertson, it's only the... You questioned the legality of the meeting,
yes.
Right, which I've just answered that. We're at the stage now where we're confirming the minutes of the two meetings. Would someone like to move those?
Sorry, can I ask, how do you establish the legality when a piece of legislation, our local laws, specifies that we must act in a certain way? How are you overcoming that, Mr. Mayor, legally?
I'll say it again, thank you. Sit down, please, Councillor Robinson.
I'm happy to stand while you're addressing
me. I'm happy to sit down, please. Said before that I requested Mr. Barlow call the meeting, okay, which I was clarified was a legal thing to do. I'm not a lawyer, so legal advice, I assume, was taken from Mr. Barlow and Mr. Harrison got it, and we were satisfied that it was a legal meeting, hence we had it. Okay?
But, Mr. Mayor, you're only talking about the calling of the meeting. I don't argue with that. It's the fact that...
You're questioning the legality of the meeting, Councillor.
And you're answering only one part of it. You're only answering the fact that you called it. I don't challenge that you had the right to call it. You had to give us sufficient time to do all of the things that were mentioned. That's part of the law.
Yep.
And you're not answering that in your answer. So I'm not satisfied with the answer.
Okay, I understand. I'll further answer your question. Right. Yes, it does. It is important to allow more information gathering. And that is why the meeting was better on a Wednesday or Thursday or Friday, rather than the Monday, which gave us an opportunity to have a briefing. And that briefing was attended by most of the councillors, right? And and one of the focuses was the people from the staff involved with the City to River were able to explain exactly what the consultation process has been. And that was one of the reasons the whole thing got off the trail, because people were saying they weren't consulted. So the advantage of having the briefing on the Monday night prior to the meeting was to be able to inform people what actually has happened. So yes, there was an opportunity for people to learn more and be better prepared for the meeting. That's one of the reasons why it was proposed on that night. Right, can I finish, please? Stop jumping up. Right. Just wait till I let you finish. I want to add something, Councillor Robinson. Right? I'm not sure if I'm allowed to talk about it, but I am going to talk about it. There is two things I regret about this, and you've questioning the whole thing. I think the reasonable person would have said, once I knew that you weren't going to attend the meeting, I should have availed you of the opportunity to shift it to either the Thursday or the Friday, another night. In reflection, I didn't do that. And in reflection, I thought that was a dumb thing not to do. Yes, you could just say, well, you made that offer a week later, but that didn't go anywhere, but the offer was there. But that's not the point. I think the Mayor should have given you that opportunity once we knew that you weren't coming. An argument says, well, whatever the reason was, that should be an influencing factor. Well, I disagree with that too. I think the principle, which you're elaborating on tonight, the principle of fairness might have been, well, perhaps you should have at least had the opportunity to shift the meeting to a more suitable date. People might argue that, well, perhaps if you had shifted the meeting, you might not have come anyway. I don't think that's the point. I still think that perhaps in reflection, I should have given you the opportunity. So for that, I actually apologise, Councillor Robertson, for not giving you that opportunity to shift the meeting. That's the first thing I regret. And the second thing I regret about this, and we've both been thinking about this for the last 4 weeks, I'm sure, is the fact that this all started, right? This all started with over-the-top criticising of the staff. And that was the environment in which these decisions were made, right? And I think that is part of the story. So whether that's an excuse or a reason, other people can judge that. But that was the trail of events. We had this extraordinary criticism of staff in the Open Council, right? We debated, voted, rescission flagging was given, and we had the discussion after. I've said this about three times, the whole trail of story. Councillor Grimble asked me about this on the Wednesday night, and I've told the whole story, and I reflected on that. And yes, had we had our time again, there are two things I would have done better. And that is given you the opportunity to shift the meeting an extra day, and also regret not having intervened earlier while the meeting was happening, while you and others were criticising the staff. So I'm going to move on now, Councillor Robinson.
Just one point, sorry, but
I'm going to move on now, Councillor Robinson.
Mr Mayor, I'd like to express my lack of confidence in the processes in this council. I'd like to put that on the public record. I find it very disappointing, not in the interest of our community.
Okay, thank you. The minutes are before us, councillors. Would someone like to move them?
Happy to move those, councillor.
Moved by Councillor Clark. Thank you. Seconded by Councillor Power. Any further discussion? Councillor
Goodman. To me, there seems to be a couple of issues here, and what we're doing is indeed endorsing the minutes of those two meetings, and what's of interest is the special meeting, which actually has an action attached to it, and I understand very clearly that the action... The opportunity to rescind that was lost, so the council received a note of the documents at hand, and they went out for public consultation, so I don't have an issue with that. It does seem very clear to me, though, that Councillor Robinson is raising another issue very strongly and passionately about the justice he sees fit, and I believe that that's probably another course of action to him, and I might suggest that under our meeting procedure, if there's something that you disagree with, the appropriate motion is a motion of dissent, and that's. I actually offer that to Councillor Robinson if he feels that way inclined, that indeed the minutes are not accurately recorded to the way he'd like to see them. A motion of dissent is quite a valid and opportunity for him to do.
Thank you, Councillor Grimble. Any further speakers? I put the motion. All those in favour? That's okay. Thank you.
Mr Mayor, I'm not in favour. I'd like that recorded.
Call for division, please. All those in favour, please signify clearly. Councillor Koenig, Grimble, Councillor Gulvin, Councillor Clark, and Councillor Power, and Councillor Murphy. And all those against? Councillor Robinson. Thank you. Item 7 is conflicts of interest. Any declarations of conflicts of interest this evening? Councillor Clark.
Mr Mayor, it's not actually a conflict, it's just a family connection to the youth issue, the youth council on 9.4. My grandson actually applied to that council, so it's not actually a conflict.
What's the item number?
9.4.
Okay. It could actually be cancelled. Right. Any other further conflicts of interest?
Thank you, Mr Mayor. Under item 9.3, under section 78B, conflicting duties, the uniting's involved in the emergency management around the psychosocial support post events. So I'm just flagging that. I don't believe it's the conflict of interest that made me leave the room, but just putting that out there as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, cool. Thank you. Okay, item 8, public question time. We have received two questions this evening from Mr Basham, but he is a late apology, so those questions are noted.
And we will provide a written response to Mr Basham.
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
Mr Mayor, could you read those questions out for me? I believe that I've received those over the weekend, just in case they're different to what I've received.
Yeah, sure. They have been distributed to councillors,
so I'm happy to read them out. Question 1. This is for the benefit of the gallery. This is from Mr Brian Basham, Post Office Box 190, Horsham. Question 1 is the Wesley Performing Arts Centre. Has the handing over the Wesley Performing Arts Centre complied with all legislation and the model rules of the Wesley PAC, which states at Rule 76, winding up and cancellation? Number 1, the association may be wound up voluntarily by a special resolution. Number 2, in the event of the winding up or cancellation of the incorporation of the association, the surplus assets of the association must not be distributed to any members or former members of the association. Number 3, subject to the Act and any court order made under Section 133 of the Act, the surplus assets must be given to a body that has similar purposes to the association and which is not carried on for the profit or gain of its individual members. Number 4, the body to which the surplus assets are to be given must be decided by special resolution. Given HRCC is a for-profit business, can the Mayor explain how the handing over of the Wesley PSA is lawful? Is the HRCC in possession of the required special resolutions made by the Wesley PAC? Question 2, Councillor Clark. On several occasions, Councillor Clark has stated publicly that HRCC was not aware of the $1.6 million funding during the recent federal election until it was announced. However, the then federal candidate stated that they had been working with HRCC for some time prior to the announcement. Can the Mayor advise who is correct? Thank you. We move now to item number 9, which is officers' reports. 9.1, the Horsham Royal City Council Early Years Plan 2019-23. The purpose of this report is to receive and note the Horsham Royal City Council Municipal Early Years Plan 2019-23 and invite public comments before adoption.
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Clark, thank you. And seconded by Councillor Goldman, thank you. Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Having spent quite a few years actually on this committee leading up to this plan being developed, it's such a good group of people from all different sections of our community that deal with young people, children, and the early years is just so important for our community. We have huge gaps in the 0 to 5 range with young children, and it is the absolute formative years that are the ones that impact on a child's future. I remember having a presentation at the special school with the principal, and I actually was mayor for the day there, principal for the day there at one stage. I really enjoyed that. But he made a statement that probably 70% of the young people that are at that school should not be there. And the reason they're there is because of that 0 to 5 development period where they didn't get the development they needed to actually progress. So it's a really important area, and this document working with young people through schools and through kindergartens and through all the development stages of our young children is so important, and so important for this council to be involved in.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Councillor Goldman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The key phrase that I wrote is education is empowerment. I'm a school teacher and I believe that, hence the reason why I chose that profession. I believe that our vocations that we have are a calling for us, and education is something that enables that to happen, and it allows us to make changes that we wish to see happen. We've got an early years plan in front of us. We also have a youth council within this document. And the two of those go hand in hand. We are looking at the future generations for our country and our society. And if we're not providing them with the opportunities to thrive, then that falls back on us. And it's not a good thing for us to do. So what we are suggesting and what is being done by those involved in this early years plan is incredible in my mind, because it's allowing education to be empowerment. I'd like to say well done to those people who were involved in this document. We are asking people to respond and provide some feedback or some thought based on this, and the reason for that is because we do believe, and I truly believe that, that our children are the next generation, and the education that we provide them today will help them in the future. So I'd love community feedback regarding our future leaders. And as part of this consultation, I do have a question, Mr. Mayor. The question is, could this be sent to all early years facilities in our municipality to ask for responses, if not already?
Okay, a question for Mr. O'Brien.
Yes, through you, Mr. Mayor. We have talked about distributing it to make it available at the Children's Hub, but certainly happy to make it available at all early years centres so that there's an opportunity for feedback to be provided on the draft plan.
Thank you, Mr. Bowen. Thank you, Councillor Goldman. Speakers against the motion?
I'm not against.
Yeah. Okay, any other speakers? Councillor Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think in a professional capacity, Councillor Power and myself in years gone by have ended up dealing with kids that probably wouldn't have found themselves in conflict with the law for the sake of some early years attention and guidance. So I fully support this. It's much better to build the foundations early, and completely happy to support it.
Good. Thank you, Councillor Robinson. Councillor Green.
Thank you. Happy to support the recommendation as well. I've put out for public comments for 4 weeks. I do have a question to Mr. O'Brien. It relates to the report highlights our facilities across the municipality, which identified Horsham, Nadimuck, and the one at Laharm, indeed in 2019, wasn't used. But I suppose my question is, the plan doesn't identify opportunities which might arise from our outlying rural parts of the municipality. And one comes to mention straight away is Tallangatuck. I understand, have a lot of young families. So I just wonder if there's some consideration to how council might address this service provision to some of the outlying elements of our municipality that don't always have an opportunity to participate at a kinder in Horsham or Nadimuck or indeed Laharm. But I also know that Laharm's mentioned there, but Laharm, as you would be aware, has a lot of employment opportunities for Karen people at Laharm, and certainly there's some new young families out there which might require the service. So to me, there's a void in what might be an opportunity for us to use. So just a comment from Mr. O'Brien, but if that is the case, we'll probably get that as part of the feedback.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Grimble. Mr. O'Brien.
Through Mr. Mayor, certainly from our consultation with the agencies, noting the interest of planning, there wasn't a specific interest to a stage where it was deemed that there'd be a specific kindergarten program delivered for that community, but happy to have further conversations with that community about what their needs are.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, that might actually pose another question that maybe the council should ask. Is there any requirement for the service to be extended in rural areas? And that question might follow through as part of the submission. But we probably need to ask the question because if people currently don't have the service, they probably might not appreciate that there's a trigger for them to ask for that service, and then council can evaluate whether there's a need for it. So maybe it's a question we need to ask some of those communities that we know have got a lot of young families.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Gribble. Any further speakers? I'd just like to acknowledge the work done by the staff who work in early years. It is so important. And obviously both the state and federal governments have a vision about this too, and changing the regulations in recent years, bringing that back down to four, and even young kids at three now getting quality education. So we need to keep ahead of that. And I also wanted to mention the positive stories which continually filter out of our new children's hub. And it's a great facility which is being well used by our community. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Against? That's okay. Thank you. We move now to item number 9.2, the Gender Equity in Community Engagement Project. The purpose of this report is to receive a note, the six-month update on the Gender Equity in Community Engagement Project, with a recommendation there, councillors. Been moved by Councillor Goldman, thank you. And seconded by Councillor Koenig. Councillor Goldman.
Just to touch on the previous piece that we just had as well as this one, they seem to come really close together. The UN Sustainable Development Goals actually touch on this topic quite a lot, and it mentions the progression that needs to happen until 2030. And in 2030, they're hoping for gender equity in all areas. So us making this stance now is obviously going towards a greater good, and if we can make a change for our community, then that's a good thing that can come out of us today.
Thank you, Councillor Goldman. Councillor Koenig.
No, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Any other speakers? Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is a 12-month project, a primary prevention project between Horsham Rural City Council, Hindmarsh, West Wimmera, Yarra Yambiack, and it's such an important project to really look at how we are engaging women and young girls into our decision-making. We've still got a way to go with some of our advisory committees, but we're doing very well with our project groups. But it is something that we need to be conscious of the whole time. I saw an ad just recently on telly which I thought was excellent, and it was about empowering young women to feel in control and to feel powerful, and it's such an important thing. And to give women a say and make sure that we do have a balance of views in our committees and our project groups. It's a really important project. So this is the 6-monthly report. It'll be interesting to see the 12-monthly report at the end of the project.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Clark. Any further speakers? Put the motion. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you. Item 9.3, the Wimmera Integrated Relief and Recovery Plan. The purpose of this report is to adopt the Wimmera Integrated Relief and Recovery Plan. Motion there, moved by Councillor Robinson. Thank you. And seconded by Councillor Clark. Thank you. Councillor Robinson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I should say I'm chair of the Municipal Emergency Management Planning Committee, but this work was done before my time chairing that committee. Relief and recovery, Mr. Mayor, sort of sits on the shelf. We don't think too much about it, but we get a decent bushfire or floods or what have you. Some of the work can go on for years, and in fact, I think Cyclone Tracy, 1974, still hasn't been fully completed. So it's really important that we have these documents. They need to be simple and easy to grab hold of, because it would be, I'm thinking, less than 1% of a job description in this building. But when the balloon goes up, it suddenly becomes all-consuming. So to have a very clear plan, yeah, is absolutely essential. So I thank the team that put it together.
Thank you, Councillor Wilson. Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, it's really important when we look at what happened during the 2011 floods, where this council were so involved in assisting families, assisting individuals to cope with the flood. This is about making sure that we have a clear plan. It also comes down to even the truck and bus accident that happened at Pimpinio a couple of weeks ago, where council were involved in that. I know the hospital was heavily involved, But the thing that really impressed me was the community that stepped up to support the people involved in the bus. That was just, we have a wonderful community here, a really kind, generous community that stepped up to support those people, and that just gives you heart to know that we do have a great community that we live in. But this is a clear plan for this council. It's so important that we understand it and we know what to do when things do happen.
Thank you, Councillor Craig. Any other speakers? Councillor Goodwin.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I agree with the comments made by my fellow councillors. And can I say that the report also highlights the significant importance of having an integrated relief and recovery, because when you have an incident that occurs, we all tend to focus on managing the incident, operation and resolving whatever the incident might be, but recovery really starts from the moment the incident happens, and it's an important part of the recovery process. But it also highlights that our community generally is very resilient to emergencies. We've seen that over the past, whether it be a lot of bushfires in the Grand Prix National Park, but certainly a lot of flood events. And through that period of having to manage emergencies, whether it be support from volunteers or neighbours or even service clubs, it does tend to build a lot of resilience in your communities, which is very important because it also helps the community prepare for whatever the next event will be. And it is only a matter of time when that will happen. And a classic example is Councillor Clark mentioned the bus incident out at Pimpinio. That would have been very confronting for the emergency service personnel who had to attend that in the first instance. But along with that, with the professional responding agencies, there's also a number of volunteer people that responded to that, and they also developed over a period of time a lot of capacity in a way of dealing with these things. So straight away there's some triggers around how they manage the event, but also how they might capture whatever the recovery process is for those people in dire need to manage. So as the report covers, it's a very holistic view of managing these things. It's not only about dealing with the operational element of the incident you can deal with, it's also make sure you've got the relief and recovery well attached. So this is a statutory requirement, but when you read it, it gives reassurance to the public that local government can take its place in being a lead agency or a supporting agency in managing whatever might come their way. And ultimately, whatever's thrown at the community, whether it be the police or the AMBOs or local government, they'll always resolve and get some conclusion in the best way possible or whatever confronts them. So I think we do with a good part of the country when that does occur.
Yeah. Thank you, Councillor. Well, I agree. Councillor Connell.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just quickly, the plan for mine is a great demonstration of great collaboration, which all good services need. But while a couple of my fellow councillors have spoken about the bus incident out at Pimpinio, I just want to the collaboration that went into line then in line with this plan to respond and swing into action. Mandy Stewart must be acknowledged in this process. My phone rang at 5:30, and that was Mandy, and I believe she was active. She was in action from about 4 a.m. or even earlier the morning off, and didn't stop until every last traveller had returned to Melbourne. So I think while it's a statutory requirement, while it's all the rest, it's a great plan, it's a great display of collaboration as well.
Thank you, Councillor Kennedy. You pass those words on, Mr. O'Brien. I'm sure I'll be appreciated. Thank you. Any further speakers? Put the motion. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you. We move now to 9.4, the Horsham Youth Council. The purpose of this report is to receive and note the update of the status of the Horsham Youth Council. Been moved by Councillor Goldman, thank you. And seconded by Councillor Koenig. Thank you. Councillor Goldman.
Mr. Mayor, the first thing I wrote down actually was yay. Very large and with lots of bad punctuation around it. The reason I did that is because this is really good to hear that we're stepping forward, we're now going to have a youth council, and we're instating young people to have a voice in our community and have a say in what they want to see happen for their future and the future of others. Within the document, there was one part that I just want to read out. It says, reference for the group includes, it is made up of young people aged 12 to 25 who reflect the diversity of young people in Horsham in our municipality. Again, diversity is something that's really important, and it's empowering to have a range of views to be heard and to voice. So I'm exceptionally excited to see this. Being a part of the LEN has been another linkage to this kind of thing, and other shires around us do it. People sitting on the LEN board were so excited when this has come to fruition. So thank you to everyone involved.
Councillor Tony, you echoed yay.
Sorry, I had a different word. I had proud. So we played a bit of catch up from Rural City with in relation to youth strategies and youth events, but now we're here. I am proud of it, and I'm proud it's been a part of my council term. It's great to see actions falling out of that overarching youth strategy. I think that's and another proud moment, I guess, from an old fellow like me, was it's pleasing to see a good number of applicants put their hand up.
Yeah.
Well more than what we were actually requiring for the council. So I think that's really great. It's credit to those young people. I'm excited to hear the opinions of our young people. No disrespect, but we always seem to hear the same people being on council. It's the same numbers call and it's the same email. So I'm really excited to have a bit of input by some people that I guess previously, maybe due to some perceived barriers, they wouldn't have felt like they had a voice, but now's the time that they can step up and take shape. We want to see young people stay, hang around in Horsham, grow old in Horsham, have families in Horsham. So I think if they can start shaping the future for themselves, I think that's a big step in that direction. So really proud and really pleased to see this one up and going. And like I said, action's falling out of the plan.
Thank you, Councillor Koenig. Any speakers against the recommendation? Any other speakers for? Councillor Power.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just like to endorse the previous two speakers. I think it's absolutely fantastic we're starting to think about our youth. The strategies and so forth that are out there in that room at the moment have got everything to do with youth. So with this youth council coming on board, all the work that we're doing with the youth at the moment, it will encourage our youngsters that are in their pre-teenage years, their teenage years, and up to the age of 25. We'll encourage these people to think about Horsham in the future, okay? I, at my age, by the time these kids get through to 25 and 30s, Horsham will be a far different place. But it's what we're doing now with the kids, with the youth of today, will benefit us in the future. So this is a great plus for Horsham. We've had to copy a couple of the other councils in relation to what they've done with youth in the past, but this is a real bonus for Horsham. This puts us back on the map to listen to what they want now at their age in the future, in the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years, what they want and what to do to keep them here in Horsham, to make Horsham grow as a regional centre. I think it's fantastic.
Thank you, Councillor Power. Any further speakers? I just wanted to acknowledge the young people that did put their hand up. And Mr O'Brien, I hope even the young people that missed out on perhaps getting onto the council might be able to utilise in some way. I think by them nominating, I'm sure with the encouragement of friends and parents, that tells us they are keen to contribute. And so we look forward to working with the council. And but also I think it would be good to accommodate those who missed out in some way as well. If you could pass that on to, I think it would be helpful. Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you.